This is the Chrysalis Color Analysis Podcast. Your hosts are Christine Skaman of 12 Blueprints
and Jorun Harness of Nordic Simplicity.
We are color analysts and we talk about how color can help you love the way you look.
We aim for publishing a new episode roughly once a month, but the best way to make sure you don't miss out on an episode is to subscribe to Chrysalis Color Analysis on your preferred podcast app.
Hello, and welcome to episode 44, the most frequently asked questions, part two. We will link to part one in the show notes. Today, we return to some of the questions that we get asked the most. We are asked these questions a lot, but we realize that for you, our listeners, this might be all new. So here we are, and we like answering your questions.
Hi, everyone. I'll second what Jorun said. We're sincerely happy to answer your questions. All you need to do is ask them in your way. First question, can you do online color analysis?
Yes. This is probably the ultimate frequent question I get, when I start thinking about it. Maybe not worded that exact way, but I often get a respectfully worded question like that, hoping that I can help them online to figure out what their season is. So, Christine, let's go over once more. Why is it we can't offer online personal color analysis?
It's a situation of not having what we need to make decisions we can trust. There's too many variables of lighting and surroundings. And how does the client know the colors that need to be compared? How do we have confidence that they are choosing the right colors? And why would they know? It's expertise the analyst has, not the client. Trying to figure out season by looking, it's like deciding how beneficial a skin product is by feel or by scent. It's like asking your doctor to offer answers without doing any tests. So what they'll say might sound like, well, I mean, it could be this and it could be that, but I don't have enough information of the right kind for how we work. So it's not helpful to our client.
Yeah, true. And clients, they may find color analysis services online, but you and I, we don't offer it. And as far as I know, none of our SciArt colleagues do either. For me, I simply can't trust that I would be able to get a proper result. Screen images are so unreliable, and the proper SciArt color analysis, it's an in-person 2-hour long process using the proper lights, the carefully calibrated drapes, and the systematic process to work our way towards your season.
Yeah, I mean, you've got daylight, night light, indoor light, outdoor light. So the lighting is 50-50, and now software changes colors at every single step. Well, that's another 50-50 odds of getting it right. Well, if I were the paying client, I would want higher odds. And if we wouldn't trust our result from video or images, why would our clients?
Exactly. And, you know, for me, the very most important aspect of the SciArt color analysis is that the client and I are together and we see the same things at the same time in the same room. You get a completely different ownership of your season when you've seen the changes yourself and talked through them as they happen.
Well, well said. I have nothing to add, really. I would like to have good confidence before I bought a lipstick or all the other expensive things we spend money on, before I changed my hair color, which can be complicated to change back. I appreciate that sometimes online is the only option available. And by taking in the experience, just curiosity, you know, and read those disclaimers, well, you can be introduced to a way of looking at your coloring that you haven't seen before, and maybe that will be helpful to you.
Mm-hmm. So that was, well, for us, that was kind of a short and sweet answer. On to the next question, Christine.
The next question. I don't like my season.
Well, that's not a question.
No, you're right. Okay, we'll break it down. It comes in two versions, and well, I'll tell you right now, I don't think they're questions either, but they're the explanations that people will give. The first is, I can't fit into the stereotypic images, descriptions, or color combinations, and this makes me feel like the colors shown for my season are not for me.
Well, another version of that, well, quote unquote question that isn't a question is this. It's like an issue, not a question. I don't feel at home in the color palette. Or they might say, I don't relate to the colors. It can be expressed in various ways, up to and including something like, the energy clashes with the inner me, or I just don't like them and I won't wear them, or I can't recognize myself.
And they're all very, very valid. So let's talk about them. When I listen to those two explanations that clients give, I see them grouped as either a logic type of conflict, kind of an impression that me and my color palette don't make sense to me. I can't figure this out. And then there's a kind of emotional conflict, feelings of energy clashes, or something just unappealing, the way a scent might be, but hard to put into words.
Yeah. Well, it does seem like two separate issues, and maybe we should deal with them separately.
Yeah.
So if we start with number one, the logic type conflict, that seems, well, relatively easily fixed by reminding yourself that the stereotype is only that, a stereotype. And you and I have a whole podcast episode devoted to that topic, don't we? We'll link to that in the show notes as well. Like, if you're a winter, for instance, you don't have to dress like Morticia Adams. Christine and I don't. You can have any style you like. When you don't identify with the colors of a season because of the stereotype most often associated with it, it might actually be the stereotype you don't identify with, right?
Well, that's it. It's just a picture, and colors could have been shown in a very different picture. And about the second, the more emotional kind of conflict, I don't really pretend to understand or have insight into energy fields or personal vibrations. My practice of color analysis is entirely about your external pigmentation and how it reacts to the colors that you wear. Should the colors feel off with your energy, the imbalance may be something other than color. So if color's not the problem, the solution won't be found in color. Color analysis, it's a visual world with boundaries of what we can see and what we can measure. We can measure, or we can't measure, pardon me, skin pigmentation directly. So we do it indirectly by comparing specific colors to yours and observing certain effects. It's kind of like if anyone saw the great movie Clara on Netflix, they're looking for planets light years away by measuring light interference when one planet passes by another, which I thought was really cool. And until we can biopsy skin or somehow put pieces of skin into color or energy measuring machines, we're going to do it by the comparison systems that we use. And I want to say, you know, I know that in my videos, and particularly in the last one, which was with Bilal Beg, I talk a lot about the layers and layers of interpretation about appearance. But that's kind of how it feels to me. And if not one other person related to those types of observations, the color analysis, the color decisions, the season that the person is, how they wear their clothing and what lipstick looks better on them would stay exactly the same.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, I hear you. And I don't know this Clara movie. I looked it up, but there's some.
Oh,
there's
it's not
a,
there? It's called, not on it, Netflix
well,
anymore.
Yes, but it's not called Clara. It's called The Child and the Astrologer, Astronomer or something like that. The Child and the Astronomer.
Oh,
but I think
okay.
that's the one. Anyway, but this one that I found is called The Child and the Astronomer.
Oh, it happens in Toronto. If you watch it, it's filmed in Toronto. Canadian content.
Well, I do like sci art movies, and I will. It's that's the that movie that I saw is on my watch list.
Yeah. It's well
sometimes
done. I
maybe
really
they
like it.
change the maybe they change the titles in different countries.
I don't know. It's entirely possible. Is it English Netflix you watch or Norwegian?
Well, English Netflix, but it's I sometimes search for movies and I find that it's not available on the European Netflix. It's only
Oh,
available on American Netflix.
yeah.
Yeah.
Could be. And
Anyway,
Netflix is going through some changes lately, so
yeah.
maybe they've.
But anyway, I it's an it sounds in a, like an intriguing concept, and I do like sci-fi, and I also like astronomy.
Yeah,
So
it's very cool.
that's interesting. And until we can find a way to take a blood sample or
Right.
do a biopsy and get our seasons that way, we're stuck with our methods. And it's not as high tech as a sci-fi movie, but it's about which color dimensions are in harmony with your colors. When we, I mean, us color analysts in the sci-art system say harmony, we don't mean like energy fields or astronomy or anything like that. It's visual harmony, warmth, degree of brightness, and darkness level, and energy, personality, and style, or stereotypes, they have nothing to do with your natural colors, right?
Right. They don't have anything to do with what your colors are. They may have something to do with how you use or wear your colors.
Yep.
But your pigmentation is your pigmentation. And you have visual harmony, just what you said. Measurable, based in color classification, not abstract. And I totally get that we have emotional reactions to colors and to people wearing colors. And I mentioned references to landscape, time of day, personality, style in my work. But I'm trying to make colors easier to picture by providing a context. I'm talking about the colors. I'm not trying to define the people as summer gardens or serene. Same as the stories around the colors and outfits we imagine for party looks back in our Party Ready episode, which I think we did in November, and we'll add a link. We did that one with Kate Linden. The idea isn't to dress like a woman about to jet off on a holiday, just to offer a context. And so you might ask, well, if it has no practical value, why do you do it? Because whether or not we picture ourselves in the story, we probably all pictured the same or similar colors, the ones that belong in the story or in the seasons. The contexts can be stereotypic. So once you understand the colors, slice off the stereotype and keep going on your road. As Joran said, about the experience too of, I just don't like them. You know, when you walk out of the analyst studio with your brand new palette, you have no real idea of what it's going to look like in your clothing or your closet or on your body. You've seen pieces of colored fabric. You've got a sense of the meaning of color harmony from a comparison testing system. But how it could apply to you getting dressed each day is barely starting to come together. It's like looking at baking powder, sugar, and flour, and expecting yourself to know how the cake is going to taste. It's a very hard thing to do. You got to actually get there. The idea is just wear your own colors. So we hope, right, Joran, that by presenting many variations through the podcasts, people find their place of comfort within their colors. By presenting many ways of wearing colors, you can find a look you maybe could identify with, but nobody's going to identify with every expression of a season. It would be like loving every single painting or home design created with our colors. It's just too big of an ask, too many other factors to take into consideration. Style, for one, all body types and personalities appear in all seasons. I'm going to digress for a minute. Joran, when you started with your season, did you feel pulled aside or distracted or deviated by the stereotypic images? I do recall, I ask because I recall a sense of this person I'm supposed to be or supposed to become. And it, I have to say, it took me a while to realize, no, I can dress like my, you know, Canadian flannel shirt lumberjack self and still look like a dark winter. And it's perfectly okay. But it did take a while to get there. Do you have a memory about that?
Yes, I do. And that's part of why I've called my business Nordic Simplicity, because it's like you can express any season in any way, and my way is to simplify it, and that in any season and can be expressed simply. And I'm a simple, very simple person, and to I was taken aback at the bright winter stereotype of
I'm going to the opera all day every day.
Yes, and Liberace. Right. I exaggerated. It's like, I know, I hate them. I'm going to look like a clown. Mm-hmm. Because, but then you kind of calm down, and yeah. And it's really, there are so many different ways to express your season. There is
really
one
are.
Way for every person. And that's what makes it so exciting.
Well, it really is, you know, and it does, you kind of work your way to an identity that feels genuine and authentic. And it's always been there and you recognize it, the same as your colors have always been there. It just takes a while to work your way to that. But boy, it's really worth it, because then all those people you feel like you're supposed to try to be, they just go away. They're somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
And so, so I just wanted to ask you that.
Mm-hmm.
We often say and believe that personality is not related to season. Well, yes, but our natural colors can have associations with character, preferences, emotions. We see that over and over. Like, we're asked about connections with MBTI types. Do certain seasons show up in certain enneagrams, zodiac signs, crystals, and so on? I think each person does have their own overlaps with these categories,
mm-hmm.
possibly because the genes that control our coloring may be found on related chromosomes as other layers of our being. So you get the stereotypic, you know, the bright, sunny blonde and so on. But I mean, you're kind of bright and sunny. You're not blonde and never have been. So there are overlaps, but, and I think there are probably provable genetic connections in inheritance, but there's no linear sequence. There's just too many layers and too much complexity to look for that. So that's my usual.
There's no law that you have to be, but when we see the connection, we think, oh, there it is. But just be careful of elevating that to, you must.
Well, this is it, right? Like you wouldn't see someone cheerful and let's go and active and, you know, think, oh, well, you know, have a seat, but I know you're a spring. Holy cow. It would never define or distract us from the colors. And the connections are just too different in everybody. When I started looking at colors, writing about it, applying it to my own shopping, I just had to find a way to understand it besides conventional fashion vocabulary. And this is something you and I talk about, to participate in the appearance industry as it is, man, it is hard for me because I do not relate to high fashion. So that's where I started, because that's what folks were talking about. And I was paying attention to the wrong things. And I was comparing myself to images that made me feel negative about myself. I didn't care for the wealth and status aspect. In fact, my approach is power to the people, power to all the people, power back to the people. You don't have to believe what they tell you, but until you're given another choice of something to believe, well, what do you do? So I needed another way to get on this appearance ship, because boy, when you see it in the mirror, you're not going to go back to who you were yesterday. And so something that all people could use wherever they live. I looked at nature, I looked at character, interior decor, places other than fashion. And I found people connected with that, and we could all see 1,000 applications. But those associations were only to visualize and choose color better. They were and still are just commentaries about the colors, not about us as people, unless we choose to accept them that way.
Yeah,
I so agree. It's like, even though you picked explained summer, true summer, as a an English garden with roses, big bloomy roses, it doesn't mean that you have to dress like one or
No.
dress in that way. It's
Totally.
a way, you said it really well earlier, that we connect to those colors. It's a way of explaining, bringing up in our mind a color, nothing more,
Indeed.
just the
It's,
color.
yeah, that blooming roses colored person. I know this person. I mean, they're a spitfire. They're,
Yes, and they
in
can be
terms
full
of
of
character.
drama. Yeah, they can be a drama and be a flamboyant, dramatic, or whatever the kibby thing is, and still have those colors and
Yeah.
be a perfect true summer. Anyway, so
Yes.
I do relate to your fashion attitude, as I know, because I
Yeah.
like it so much. I'm really not a fashion person. And if that's what this was all about, I'd never, ever be a color analyst.
Couldn't do it.
No, it's so possible to use your colors to look fresh and healthy in regular clothes. So a fresh example is from one of my readers. It's a soft summer, and she was a little bit reluctant to her season because she was being drawn to more saturated and deeper colors. And then her challenge is to find ways to interpret her color palette in a more dramatic and less flowery and sweet way. That's who I had in mind when I said the one, the English garden. We all might feel inclined to push back against rules and stereotypes. Maybe you and I are even kind of a more above average on the
Higher on the
rebel.
bell curve, are you saying?
Yes, yeah, I think
Yeah,
so. And we kind
maybe.
of rebel against being locked in. And it
Yeah.
is kind of human nature, isn't it? Or like in
Yeah.
other areas of life, grass is always greener and so on and so forth.
Let's
If,
just question everything, right? Who
yeah, we
says?
do. And we
According to who?
want, yes, and we want what we don't have.
Yeah,
If you have
yes.
curly hair, you want it straight, and all the straight people, straight. Not straight people.
Yes.
The straight-haired people, they
Yeah.
want curly hair. And me, being a bright winter, I suffer heavily from soft autumn envy. I would just love to look great in those toned-down, soft-spoken colors. But I often remind people that you do have more freedom than you think within your palette. You do. And last but not least, your choices will be better if every choice on the menu is already good. Everything you can choose from, the menu here being your color palette, right?
Yeah, you're gonna do better, you're gonna look better, shop better, and find your decisions easier in a store color just for you than walking into some gigantic shopping mall. So to find new information, we just gotta look in new places, which is what I hope our podcast can be, right, Doreen?
Oh, absolutely. We thrive on inspiration ourselves, don't we? And we hope to inspire our listeners to look in new places and go further within their seasons. So, a new question, and perhaps this kind of ties in with the previous ones. Does every color suit every person in a season, or should some be avoided? Understanding that each person in the same season is still unique. Are all the colors in the season palette equally suited? Okay, so before we actually answer that question, I'll use bright winter as an example because I am one, just to paint a picture of this issue. So, bright winter is a cool, neutral season. One bright winter can be close to the border with true winter, and another one can be close to the border with bright spring. Using the same color fan, should they both suit all colors, or should they disregard certain colors? It's a very interesting question. Like the bright winter who sits close to the true winter, sh should she ignore yellows and lime greens on the bright winter fans or corals? I'm kind of tossing the ball over to you, Christine. You can start.
Okay, thank you. It
Yeah,
is
you're welcome.
my very strong belief personal belief that every color in a season palette can be worn by each person, regardless of where they are in the season. There was a time with clients when I wouldn't mention which side of their season a person might be closer to, technically speaking, because the information seemed to preoccupy them, and it had too much influence in choosing or avoiding colors, usually doing too much avoiding. So my feeling is, yeah, wear the lime green. Yes, wear the coral. Wear whatever's in your fan. Wear it however it suits you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm also reluctant to give that too much emphasis in a color analysis setting. There's so much to take in anyways, and I'm kind of mindful of not complicating it further. There's something to be said definitely about not limiting people even further, because from the get-go, we're circling in on here's your brightness level, here's your value range, and here's your warm, cool range. And then if we make them think that they need to limit even further within the color fan they were given, it just doesn't seem right, does it?
No, not to me. I mean, it's fine to start that way. I completely understand people are like, wow, this is quite different from what's in my closet. I think I'll start with blue because I feel comfortable. Absolutely. Start however you want to start. But if you never knew this about yourself, this side of a season, the other side of a season, if you just had, I'm a bright winter, just don't think it would really matter. Maybe finding a warmth level of lipstick, but even there, we really can become too rigid. And with a narrower range, people just figure lipstick out. I really pay no attention to this, which side of my season, I just barely matters. Do you care, Yorin? Does it make any difference in your color choices?
No, I don't go around thinking about it at all.
No, me too.
You know, I like to think that my color choices are harmonious, and I don't go towards one side or consciously avoid another side of my bright winter palette. It's not helpful. It would be, it's hard enough to find our colors in the shops as it is. It would be just limiting.
I consciously, in fact, do the opposite. I go towards using both sides of the palette as much as possible, warm, cool, light, dark. I want to step into the whole planet, not just one hemisphere. But, you know, we're not looking at 65 turtlenecks here. One might be a watch strap. And it's so much more interesting when you add a little bit of harmonious color zing, let's say.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes, I keep coming back to you and your goal to, in time, be owning something in every color on your palette. You've said that you strive to do it, and
yes,
I'm trying to keep that in mind. I have a ways to go there. Not sure if my closet ever will be a rainbow color, but thinking about it is a step, right?
Well, you know, I'm going to digress again because that's what I do. I think we can also very much get stuck in a rut, not saying that you're in one by any means. You wear the colors the way you want. If you want to wear white, black, and red and nothing else, by all means. But I say it because I noticed today you're wearing a very fresh and lovely and beautiful different lipstick. It's pink compared to your normal reds. And I think it looks just stunning with your rose gold glasses. Your skin is just illuminated. So why did you decide, I'm going to move away from red and try pink? Did you just find a gorgeous color, or was it more conscious, like, no, I need some variety here?
I was looking at lipsticks and I was gravitating towards that bright red that I usually wear, but then I thought, no, let me just see if I should do it's actually a bright coral pink. Mm-hmm. And then I thought it can, the bright reds, if they're too dark, they can be too harsh. So I'm trying to kind of soften my winter appearance and exploring the softer side of bright winter. So I thought it was actually a conscious decision. I thought it looks bright enough to be bright winter, but it certainly is lighter and more corally than what I've ventured into. Yeah.
So it's very successful. I'm used to seeing you in red, and yet I find this just as impacting as the red. So that's kind of interesting. And, you know, there's just every time I add another color and another color, I find there's so much movement and variety in my closet. It's like some great new person came to this party you're at. I really like it. And looking into other seasons doesn't really enter my mind. And also why I don't get into it with clients. I would say 8 in 10 people are easily centered in their season analysis wise. I would see 9 in 10 people in the neutral seasons, better in their main season if you had to pick one to lean towards. So like if you're true winter, if you're a bright winter, pardon me, you might be more likely to go to true winter. If you're a light summer or a soft summer, you'd wander off into true summer to find your most likely borrowing colors. Depends on the person, though. As I say that, you know, there's just so much diversity. I certainly know some soft summers who would not go to true summer. They'd go to soft autumn. They're like 1 degree away. But these are not, these are the unicorns. They are not the people to put yourself in those shoes right from the start. Just go with your main one. And you don't have to pick one to lean towards at all. Agree, Joran, on everyone wearing every color, or neutral seasons usually being closer to their true season? What's your experience there?
Well, in the analysis process, in the final rounds, the last comparison is often between the best and the second best.
Yes.
Right. Well, always. We that's how we work. We eliminate. And of course, when you eliminate, there's finally, we're down to two seasons and you're, of course, eliminating one of them. Might be a true and a neighbor, or the two neutral seasons, depends on the client and how the analyst works, but that's how I work. But you will have a winner and you will have a second best, a runner up, so to speak, the one that was close but no cigar. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't mean you are the runner up.
Right.
And once we've chosen the winner, that's where we focus. And I 100% agree with you in advising that if in doubt, to look towards the true season to pick, you know, if you're going to borrow from another season, you're safer. If you're a neutral season, you're safer borrowing from your true mother season than you are from any of the other seasons. So when you see the color fan, there are warmer and cooler alternatives within every season. And I think maybe every person will gravitate towards their favorites. Maybe some will gravitate towards some on the warm side and some on the cool side. That's fine. And, you know, even though you can pick from your whole spectrum, you can have your favorites. I think that's going to be good enough.
Yeah, I do too. Got to put your attention in the places that actually matter. And people find their way, patience, faith, and just don't spend too much money at the start. Wait till you get going with it and build some confidence with it. And fine, again, at the beginning to say, no, you know, there's a lot to take in here. I'm going to focus on two colors as I learn. That's great.
Yep. Yep. So the listener that we referred to, she asked if a cool or cool neutral season would avoid yellow or quote unquote warm green. Yellows, they may be warm associated colors on a color wheel, but you know, yellows, they've been adjusted to harmonize with the warmth of the palette. If it's on your, if it's in your fan, it's in mm-hmm. your level of warmth and intensity.
There are different versions of yellow or warm green than would be found in the other 11 seasons. So every season has yellow choices because every human has yellow in their pigmentation. I just don't try to outthink the system. It works so well and works over and over and over again that I accept it as it is. And I try to stretch myself towards it rather than put limits on it to suit me. But it's fine if you want to. Just stay with your palette. Figuring you wouldn't wear your season yellow, though, or your warm green. I don't know. I just don't think it gives the creator of the color system enough credit for assigning warmth to hundreds of colors and their variations, and then dividing those in 12 groups and getting it right. I mean, believe me, the creator of the system, this is Catherine Kalish, add skills in color artistry and classification, and then how to apply those to humans that exceed any other system I've ever seen. I'd see any bright winter really who avoids yellow as less interesting, or okay, just say it, Christine, more boring or unimaginative than they could be. But the yellows in bright winter have a cooler version too. And that could be great. Could be a belt, could be a ribbon in dark hair, could be a logo on a running shoe, but don't avoid yellow. You know, I have this funny experience. Okay, digressing again, Euron's going to be like, stop it.
No, I'm saying, come on, Kim.
Yellow, this really funny color, because people, warm seasons, but way more so cool and cool neutral seasons, they don't tend to wear a lot of yellow. They don't like it, right? They're I never find a yellow. I'm not comfortable. They're not going to wear at least a big area of yellow under their face. But oh my gosh, they can't put yellow on their head fast enough. So you know, it's the funniest thing, right? People have these real sensitivities about yellow, but they will put it on their head. I'm talking about myself here, and wear it this way for 20 years. And so you wouldn't put it under your face, but you're willing to frame your face in a yellow you would never wear as clothing. I mean, I get that there's no point looking for logic here, because there was certainly none in my mind when this all was going on. And I had no better place to find information. But anyway, my funny relationship with yellow, I have stories about yellow.
Well, there you have it, everybody. We'd have to bring hair color into this.
It's huge. It's huge, man. Hair color. God, you need someone who walks into a room and the hair color can make or break the whole thing.
Yes, you know? It can. Such an important topic.
Huge, huge.
Anyway, so back to yellow. Well, not back, but you mentioned yellow in hair.
Yellow is it.
I hear you. But summers, the summer seasons, they often avoid yellow in clothing more than winters.
I think
especially
so.
The true summers.
Yeah.
Well, their yellow is harder to find. But maybe it's a hard pass because yellow is conspicuous, so it takes time to feel comfortable wearing it. And you don't feel you have to wear yellow or look for yellow in another season. You don't have to settle for another yellow than your own. Really, really.
Oh, it's true. You just, you wait, it'll show up. It's the same here in Canada. True summer yellow is hard to find. Light summer, easy. Soft summer, medium. I think I'm talking more about fabric stores here, but maybe clothing stores as well. I shop in thrift stores, and it's the same thing. Lots of light summer, some soft summer, but you got to look a little harder. True summer, tricky.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think people who sew their own clothes are definitely, they have an advantage.
Then, you know, because the clothing stores, they seem to all have the same kind of yellow at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, but what is it that makes a color work anyway? It's something to think about. What does it mean when a color suits a person? I think it depends on who you ask and other factors, the natural coloring of the person and, you know, but the palette for each season is configured so that every color has the same color properties or settings. You know, we have the same warm setting. We have the same level of mutedness or brightness. We have the same darkness or lightness level. And that's how they create natural harmony. But how we wear those is our choice. Use your palette to wear color as it feels comfortable to you. And for some people, that means no yellow, and that's okay. And for others, it's yellow in small areas. And for others, it's a yellow gown or a yellow raincoat or a jumpsuit, and it's all okay.
Right. As we've said, regardless of where you fall in a season, I love seeing people own something in each color. So don't consider narrowing the use of the palette. I'd expand it. I'd even expand it to include the whole palette plus some of the closest neighbor if you happen to have a better than or a favorite, one that you're in better harmony with. I mean, when someone says, does this color suit me? I guess it kind of fires up my technical brain and I look to, well, how's the light dark? How's the warm cool? And how's the bright soft? To answer that question, I leave my tastes entirely out of the picture because the next person they ask could have completely different tastes. So a soft autumn who's pretty good in true autumn, including the true autumn light to medium colors, could have great usability with soft autumn because they're kind of the lighter version of true autumn in a way. Not quite as warm, not quite as dark. So take the light to medium colors from true autumn.
Yeah, I agree with you totally. But for a soft autumn that's closer to soft summer, would you say the same thing? I'm thinking that you could borrow from the warmer colors, but you don't have to buy another fan. I think nobody needs to own more than their season's fan.
Yeah, not unless they want to. Yeah, that's what I would say. Soft autumn closer to soft summer. Find out what they have in common. The warmer colors of soft summer, they've got the softness. That would be great. So bright winter could venture off into bright spring for medium to dark blues and cool reds because there would be some overlap there. They get so close in color space that in the real world of outfits and combinations and lighting, you'd be just fine. No need to buy another fan unless you really want guidance in how you choose colors or how you want to expand into another season.
So speaking of owning more than one fan, how about the corporate color fans of the seasons? Do you have an opinion on those, Christine?
Oh yeah, they're fantastic and helpful. They're really good. Different colors, more neutrals, wider dark range, not necessarily wider light range, but it really widens your perspective on your season.
Yeah, I agree. And they have a lot more neutrals and a lot more colors. It has, the fan is fatter, the corporate fan.
Colors like, oh, wow, I didn't see that coming. That's kind of original, really good.
Nice, yeah. So to sum up, if you're going to wear yellow, choose one from your own season's palette. There's too much diversity of taste and cultural preference, age or gender, for each person in a season to wear their colors their same way or have the same definition for when a color works.
Reader asked recently about the fabric color sets. So these are sets of 15 fabrics showing different color examples of colors from the 60 plus colors in our ink on canvas palettes. And the question was sort of the same. Is each color in this set of 15 equally suitable for the person? And if you'll allow, I'll talk about that a little bit here.
I do allow. In fact, I'll be leaning back, eager to hear you talk about it. I do so love the neutral fabric sets that you created way back. They're quite a long time ago. I use those a lot as a learning tool in every color analysis when we talk after the analysis. And now I know you have now created color fabric sets too. And these are the ones that you're referring to, right?
They are, yes. They are. And we'll put a link in the show notes. They're in the shop on my website. I would flip the way the question asks about it. So rather than, are these 15 colors suited equally for each or any bright winter person? I think of them as 15 colors equally harmonious with the bright winter palette. But the idea is to offer enough colors throughout the swatches, the fabrics, in the full palette to give you a head start on what does this look like in textile, in different kinds of textiles, to fill in the blanks for the rest of the colors. You start seeing patterns and relationships more easily with real fabrics. It's easier to spot belonging or outsider colors. When you shop, you just lay them out like a checkerboard. And if you put an outsider color there, it'll behave differently. You'll see something different. The intention of the sets is not to present wide color diversity or even consistency between production runs, because fabric availability would never be that cooperative.
Yeah, in your dreams, right?
In my dreams, yes, absolutely. So each set includes a color from every color family, which might be one piece, like yellow, which has fewer choices in winters, or several pieces like red or blue or their combinations like purple, which have multiple choices for winters. And then the reverse, yellows would have more choices in the warmer seasons. The sets are also planned as a learning tool in a few ways. One of these being to see the warm, cool range using two colors of the same family of similar darkness. Let's say two Kelly greens, the same darkness level, or two sky blues, same color family, at the same darkness level. That's important because it takes one variable out of the equation, so it's closer to apples to apples. Much harder to compare a light warm and a dark cool and be confident with what you decide. Neutral color sets, maybe they have more than one version of white. Same idea, to see the warm to cool range in the same color. Much easier than trying to see warmth across a red and a blue, a light one and a dark one. And then a second fun thing to do, fun for us, is to look at various versions of the same color and see how light to dark level can change when brightness stays the same. So for example, in light summer, there might be a carnation and there might be a soft raspberry, same color, red, same brightness, light summer, but different darkness. Joran, I don't think we've ever talked about this. Do you have a color you consider your best? I mean, I don't, either as a single color or even a color family. But thinking about it, because it was a really good question, insightful question that the listener asked, I realized that though I personally like red, periwinkle, and teal, I could say that they might be my best colors, from which came the realization that those might be my top colors for all three winters. But you can't really build a wardrobe on three colors, and you can't wear them too often, best or not best. What do you think?
I think, yes, you can build a wardrobe on three colors. What's the problem?
That's right.
I have no problem with that. You're talking to a woman with a very limited color scheme who loves just that.
Uh-huh.
But what did you ask? Well, there's none I consider my personal best. You know, though I choose not to wear all of them. If a color is bright, fresh, and happy, then it's my best color. Whatever I'm wearing at the moment is my best color, I guess.
Yes. I'm talking to a woman with limited, and you're talking to a chipmunk. Yeah. lots of movement for the eyes and a fair bit of shiny stuff.
Well, that's not a chipmunk. That's a magpie.
A hybrid or a yeah. Hybrid.
Chip pie, magmunk. Our third and final question for today is about our colors bringing us into focus versus blurring imperfections. The reader asked, sometimes you mention that your best colors are the ones that bring you into focus. Previously, I thought that one's best colors are the colors that blur skin imperfections to the highest degree. Maybe I have got this wrong and the color that blurs imperfection also blurs one's appearance or focus. That's what she asked. So, and she went on to say, in an earlier episode, you talked about the colors that make blemishes the least visible might not be the colors that makes you most visible. This stayed with me because I see my skin somehow smoother in summer colors, but I see my eyes and face more clearly in winter colors. This was what the reader said. So, Christine?
People just never stop impressing me.
Yeah.
With how well they can observe things and how layered and intelligent their interpretations are. And the questions really just blow me away. That is a smart, smart question. What comes to my mind first is that I don't recognize the expression blur imperfections, not familiar with it, except as a marketing strategy from cosmetic companies, you know, like particles in foundation that scatter light or something. I'm not really sure what it actually means or refers to. I'm not sure either how one would selectively, or how a product would selectively blur imperfections and leave the perfections alone. I mean, how would a product or a clothing color know how to do that? Wearing your right colors to be in focus and then using concealer on red or violet areas seems to me a better approach. It's kind of less global blurring effect.
Less invasive.
Pardon me?
Less invasive.
Yeah, well, kind of, right? Like it gets too much into your space. I do recognize the experience the listener describes, though, in that wearing too warm color can diminish red areas in the face, but the warm color affects the entire face. It doesn't only go after the reds in the face and gray them down. The whole face and all its colors are affected by the particular red. So you can end up looking bland. You can end up looking flat in too warm of a color. That's a blur, but it's not radiance or presence. And so, you know, for this person who sees conflicting information in summer and winter, and I bet she's absolutely right in her observations, the analyst is the person who's going to sort all this out. What are the priorities and how do you draw conclusions from this that are true? So the person might actually be a summer. I'm not at all to say that the person's a winter. And yes, the features may appear more visible in the comparison, but maybe the effect is severe. Maybe in a warmer or darker summer, that would have given them all the definition they need, plus the benefits of summer. So again, the analyst is trained, understands how to sort all this out. Do you use the expression blur imperfections with clients, Jorn? Or is it something like, do you hear that in Norway in cosmetic marketing or something?
Cosmetics marketing, I'm sure. Yeah. But in color analysis, we'll be seeing how with certain colors, the imperfections is all that we can see, you know, like dark shadows under the eyes, for instance. And then we switch to another drape and the shadows, they're still there, but they become insignificant because suddenly the eyes themselves come forward and in focus. It doesn't make the shadows or the other imperfections go away, but they don't get to take center stage anymore. Does that make sense?
Yeah, they don't separate or become prominent. They just...
Yeah. So it's not about hiding and it's not about exaggerating anything. If a person has a blemish that's red, then it is, though it will be least noticeable in their correct reds. And since I'm obsessed with hair coloring, there it is again, hair coloring. A person might feel that their hair is mousy and dull, their natural hair color, but next to the correct colors in clothing and makeup, the hair will be perceived as multifaceted and full of life. Ha! So I managed to squeeze in yet another little something about hair in this episode. Maybe we should stop while we're ahead. I think that kind of wraps it up for this Q&A episode, eh, Christine?
I think it does. And thank you so much. Thank you, Jorn, for being here. This podcast is so much fun. And thank you to our listeners for listening once again. Please do ask those questions, even if you feel you've asked them before or we've talked about them before. We will file them away for another question and answer episode in the future.